Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. It is Thursday, March 22nd. It's 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you're somewhere else, you're going to have to figure out what time it is where you are, but it's 9 p.m. here in Washington, D.C., where I, Michael Collins Piper, am now sitting quietly in my little office slash studio slash home. And I have a lot of interesting little tidbits to share with you tonight, so get your pen and paper handy. I'm going to give you some information about a very interesting book I know a lot of you would like to read, and I'll give you some information as to where you can get it. And I'm going to give you an address for a very brave lady who needs some help, plus maybe some other little tidbits here and there, so get your pen and paper handy. Well, I opened up the Washington Post today, ladies and gentlemen, and found out that former Congressman Jack Metcalf, a Republican from Washington State, for three terms, he died at age 79 in Oak Harbor, Washington. Now, let me read to you what they say about him. They say, a strong advocate for the environment and veterans in Congress until he stepped down to honor a now-defunct term limit law, the longtime state legislator was elected to the House in 1994. He supported investigations into the causes of illnesses faced by veterans of the Persian Gulf War and increased funding for military family assistance and homeless veterans programs. He's a former school teacher, joined the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department as a patrol boat skipper, and he worked as a U.S. Marshal. Jack Metcalf was a good fellow. I met him very briefly one time when he came to the old office of the Spotlight here on Capitol Hill. And what they did not mention about Jack Metcalf, which is interesting, is that as a state legislator, he was probably the most prominent elected official in the country. Well, with the possible exception, I guess, of Ron Paul and maybe Congressman Phil Crane at one time. But Jack Metcalf was an outspoken critic, no holds barred, of the Federal Reserve System, and often sponsored legislation in the state legislature to repeal the Fed. In other words, set things in motion for a national effort to repeal the Fed. He really stuck his neck out at a time when people were not going to talk about that issue, nor do they talk about it anymore. So let's say a prayer for Jack Metcalf, no longer with us, and for his family. He was a good man, and too bad he didn't stay in Congress longer than he did. But, you know, he was a man of principle, and he chose not to stay in Congress any more than he was allowed, at least in terms of his own principle. Good man, Jack Metcalf. Okay, well, we are going to have a break here very shortly, folks. When we come back, though, we'll talk about some more news and information I think you need to hear about. So stay tuned. You're listening to Michael Collins Piper, and I'm here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, courtesy of Headache Stay Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. If you don't know their toll-free number, I'm going to give it to you later. So, like I say, get your pen and paper handy. And we'll take some calls later here in the hour. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Coming to you from Washington, the headquarters of American Free Press, national weekly newspaper from Washington. Check it out at AmericanFreePress.net on the internet. Well, interesting, folks. I was down at the American Free Press office today where they were putting together the issue for April 2nd that went to press today. And it's kind of funny because, on Monday we had a caller who said that Mark Glenn and I were covering up about Building 7 at the World Trade Center, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, very funny. What I didn't know was that even as this accusation was being made, American Free Press was putting together a full-page story by our correspondent, Mark Anderson, who was a guest on this show. And Mark's story is entitled, 911's Smoking Gun. American Free Press interviews Dr. Stephen Jones on World Trade Center demolition claims. And it's a very interesting story talking about Dr. Stephen Jones, a former Brigham Young University physics professor, who is raising some questions about Building 7 and about the what he says is the demolition with explosives by the other World Trade Center buildings. So I'm sorry to say American Free Press, contrary to what our callers seem to think, American Free Press is not covering up on Building 7, and I think you'll find Mark Anderson's interview very, very interesting. I hope you are a subscriber to American Free Press. If you're not, now's the time to do it. But needless to say, this story was put together based on Mark's exclusive first-hand interview with Dr. Jones at the recent Justice and Freedom Conference in Irvine, California, of which American Free Press was a co-sponsor. So those of you who are interested in 911, you'll definitely want to check it out. And if you're not interested in 911, you should be, because it is one of the big issues of the day. It's the big issue of the century, folks. Speaking of Building 7, I got a very interesting letter today from someone who has been writing me for a while. He used to like me. Now he doesn't. I forget why he doesn't like me. I think it's because I dared to say boo to Eric Hufschmidt. He calls me Pooper Piper, and he calls Chris Petherick, the editor of American Free Press, Peckerhead Petherick. Well, aside from a lot of convoluted ranting and raving in the letter, incidentally, I'm going to have a friend of mine who's one of the leading handwriting analysts in the country. I'm going to have her analyze his handwriting and give me a report on that. But in any case, he has a very interesting theory on why Building 7 was imploded. Now, considering the source, you know, I'm hesitant to quote him, especially with someone that calls me Pooperhead Piper. Sounds like something out of first grade, maybe even kindergarten. But he puts forth the theory, and of course it is a theory, but it's one that's interesting to consider, that Building 7, which was built a little bit after the main World Trade Center buildings, he puts forth the theory that because there were so many top-secret and sensitive U.S. government agencies housed in Building 7, including the CIA, that perhaps they originally wired Building 7 with explosives so that in the event of a crisis, it would be possible to bring the building down. Now, this presupposes the idea, of course, that the government was under attack and that it was necessary to cover up government secrets that were being held in the building, et cetera, et cetera. A very big presupposition. But, you know, I tell you something, there is a certain amount of, interesting common sense to that theory. I talked a little bit about that this afternoon off the air with Mark Glenn, and he has some reservations about that, but neither Mark nor I would pretend to be experts on explosives or on what might be in the minds of, quote-unquote, our government officials. But our letter writer, Mr. Kent Murphy, a West Virginia fellow, he says that why would they keep it secret? Why is it that they're covering up the fact that there were explosives already pre-wired in Building 70? Well, he points out that can you imagine how many people who are working in federal buildings around the country would be a little bit disturbed to find out that those federal buildings were wired with explosives? As I say, folks, I see a little bit of logic to that. I do see a little bit of logic to that, and as I have said from the beginning, regarding 911, I've said it before and I'll say it again and again and again. The fact is that there are a lot of people making speculations, and in this case, I'm not even talking about Mr. Murphy here. I'm talking about a lot of people all over who are making speculations about a lot of the forensic evidence and other things that happened on 911. A lot of the people who are making those speculations aren't really qualified to be doing it. People are getting bogged down in a lot of details as to how the crime was committed as opposed to why the crime was committed. And then that's the same thing we saw with the John F. Kennedy assassination. That's why so many people who, when they first read my book, Final Judgment, were so disappointed that I didn't go into all the speculation about how many shots were fired, where the shots were fired from, how many hit President Kennedy, how many hit Governor Connally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I focused on the motives of those involved, and that is why President Kennedy was killed. So that's kind of an interesting letter I received there from Mr. Murphy, Mother Murphy. Well, speaking of 911, Ellen Mariani, the 911 widow whose husband died on September 11th, she's been trying to find out what really did happen to Flight 175, and, you know, she's run up a lot of legal bills. She's been up there fighting the good fight up front. Now, of course, she's been called a Zionist agent by Eric Hufschmidt. I don't believe that to be the case, and I don't think anybody of any common sense believes that to be true. But Mrs. Mariani has put together a six-page update on her attempts to get the federal government to allow discovery, that is, to bring out evidence in her 911 case. And they've been stonewalling her, but she continues to fight. Now, bear in mind, this woman could have taken a gigantic settlement from the U.S. government, their payoff, to silence people, but she didn't. No, she wanted to find out the truth, and that's what the 911 truth movement, the real 911 truth movement, not the mudslingers and the smearmongers and the sensationalists are trying to do. Well, if you'd like to help out Ellen Mariani, I want to give you her address. She lives in Colorado. Parker, Colorado, just like it sounds. P-A-R-K-E-R, Parker, Colorado. Her name is Ellen Mariani. Last name is spelled M-A-R-I-A-N-I, Ellen Mariani, P.O. Box, folks, P.O. Box 2792, P.O. Box 2792, Department FP14, Department FP14, Parker, Colorado, 80134. I hope you'll send a donation to Ellen Mariani, and she'll send you a six-page update, and I know it'll be interesting. Ellen, I've only met Ellen one time. She's a very nice lady. She's a real American, and American Free Press is proud to be helping out Ellen. Her address, again, is Ellen Mariani, P.O. Box 2792, Department FP14, Parker, Colorado, 80134. If you didn't get that address, it's being published this week in this issue of American Free Press, or if you want to call in later, I'll repeat the address. But give her a hand and tell her you heard about her on Mike Piper's radio program. Very interesting article in Washington Jewish Week this week. Now, of course, the Anti-Defamation League's official position is that I'm anti-Jewish and anti-Semitic and this and that and such, but I want to tell you, there's Mr. Alan Gura, who writes a regular column for them, and very interesting. The title of the column is what caught my attention, Passover's Lesson, Don't Trust Authority. Well, I thought that was very interesting that a Jewish newspaper would have a column by someone saying that the Jewish holiday of Passover reminds people that they shouldn't trust authority. Well, isn't that exactly what we're all saying here on the Republic Broadcasting Network? And yet groups like the Anti-Defamation League call us anti-government conspiracy theorists. Well, what's interesting about Mr. Gura's column is that I started reading and I found out that Mr. Gura had once brought a lawsuit on behalf of six people challenging Washington, D.C.'s unconstitutional bans on the possession of firearms. They rejected his case, a federal judge, in 2004, but he had 30 days to file an appeal. But guess what? He filed his appeal on the 15th of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but he filed it on Passover. The reason why is because he said that, at least in the Jewish teachings, that the Jewish people, survived and fought back and were saved. You know, their lives were saved on Passover. And what he goes on to say in a very interesting column, and Mr. Gura is Jewish, he says, our nation is founded on a principle of individual rights and responsibility. And in this regard, the founders knew how to avert the need for a Passover better than many of us do today. The founders understood why the Second Amendment guarantees our right to keep and bear arms. Very interesting. Good for Mr. Alan Gura. He practices civil and appellate litigation in Virginia and Washington, D.C. And yes, folks, he is Jewish. I'm not sure, but I believe it's his case, which has since been reinstated. But in any case, good for Mr. Gura. What do you have to say about that, Anti-Defamation League? Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, courtesy of Headaches Stay Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the mark of the beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington. And it's very interesting, you know, I was just saying how, telling you about Mr. Gouris, the attorney who had filed the lawsuit on behalf of the Second Amendment and the rights of law-abiding people who want to use guns to protect themselves. Well, that same issue of Washington Jewish Week that had that very... That just a great article by Mr. Gurr also had a full-page advertisement saying, you're invited to a special conference to build support to stop the threat of Iran. Well, it's being held at the Jewish Community Center of Greater Washington, sponsored by the Israel Project and the Jewish Community Relations Council. They've got a big selection of neocon types, like Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy in Washington. And, of course, it's all, as they say, about stopping the threat of Iran. Now, of course, you know, of course, our big, powerful Jewish lobby here in Washington says, oh, no, we're not involved in the Iranian issue. You know, we're, you know, it's everybody else but us that wants to stop Iran. Well, that full-page advertisement says otherwise. We know how much power the Israeli lobby has in this country, and there's the evidence right there in black, not just in black and white, in color. It's obviously a very expensive advertisement. They've got a lot of money at their disposal to try to promote another war. Well, speaking of war, the people that fight the war, that's our fellows and ladies in the Marines, in the Air Force, in the Army, and in the Navy. And now we have a Navy man by the name of John Sharp. His last name is spelled Sharp, just like it sounds, S-H-A-R-P-E. John Sharp has been suspended from the Navy because, according to the Navy, evidently, not certainly, evidently, he's affiliated with an anti-Semitic group, and that's illegal in the U.S. Navy. That's a summary of the Navy argument against him. The Navy says there's a regulation that says no person in the naval service shall participate in any organization that espouses supremacist causes. You know what Mr. Sharp's, and I don't know his Navy title, forgive me for not knowing it, but Mr. Sharp's crime is the fact that he is the publisher and editor of an excellent and quite gigantic two-part book. It's called Neocon. And actually, I was in contact with Mr. Sharp when he was putting that book together. He asked me to write an endorsement for the book, which I was pleased to do, and which they published in Neocon. The two books are massive books, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have the order information handy for that, but later, not tonight, but some other time, I'll talk about those books and tell you where you can get them. But if you want to look on the Internet, you can probably find it, entitled Neocon. Well, that's his crime, for publishing a book carrying essays by a wide-ranging array of people, important and not so important, but very intelligent, honorable people, who are saying that the war in Iraq was a bad war, that it was not a war that fulfills Christian ideals. A wide-ranging host of people, Jewish and non-Jewish, liberal and conservative, people from all political stripes. And, you know, what's interesting is that a lot of the articles, they didn't even focus on neoconservatives or Israel, but because he published a book, he's been suspended from the Navy. This is going to be a very interesting case, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I hope to hell a lot of our good people who are in the Navy right now and in the other armed services, these people who are fed up with Zionist power in America, I hope they come to John Sharp's support. And we'll be bringing you more on that case. It's just in its opening guns. Speaking of opening guns, there's a lot of talk about Israel. Believe it or not, in the March 18th issue of the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof, K-R-I-S-T-O-F, had a column entitled Talking About Israel. And what does he talk about? He talks about the power of the Israeli lobby. And believe it or not, George Soros, who's a Holocaust survivor, in a New York Review of Books, he has an article in its April 12th issue on Israel, America, and AIPAC. He takes AIPAC to task, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of people are taking the Israeli lobby to task, folks. George Soros ain't no Nazi. He ain't no Holocaust denier, ladies and gentlemen. Good for George Soros. Good for Nicholas Kristof. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites Congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you don't have your pen and paper handy, ready, as I told you at the beginning of the hour, get it out right now because I have some good news. You know, as I was talking about the book Neocon, I had an image in my mind of its very interesting cover, and there's actually two books in the series, Neocon and Neocon Again. And guess what? I know now why I was thinking about their colorful covers, because guess what, folks? They're available from RBN. My producer reminded me over the break about this. That's why I saw them recently. I have them here in my library, but they're up on my big shelf of books to review. I've already looked through them, but I want to write reviews of them eventually. And here they are, right here on the RBN website. Now, let me give you the information. You can call and order it by calling RBN directly. I'm going to give you the number to call. The book Neocon, which was the first one, is $25.95 plus $4.50 shipping and handling. And guess what? Neocon Again is also $29.95 plus $4 shipping and handling. So basically, folks, what you have there, we're talking, just say $35. That means you're making a 55-cent contribution to American Free Press, not American Free Press, to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Neocon, just like it sounds, Neo-Cond, C-O-N-N-E-D, and Neocon Again. The one book is Not sure how many pages. Big, hefty book, though, ladies and gentlemen. And the second book, Neocon Again, is even bigger and heftier. And I want to tell you something. These are very good prices on both books. Number one, because they're good books. Lots of interesting information from a lot of points of view. Talking about the condemnation of the war in Iraq, the concept of just war principles, and then Neocon Again is about hypocrisy, lawlessness, and the rape of Iraq. So basically, folks, we're talking about a lot of good material in two attractive hardbound volumes that you would pay a considerably higher price for anywhere else. So I would suggest if you haven't read these books, check them out. And it makes it all the more interesting from your point of view and my point of view because John Sharp, this bright young Navy officer who took the trouble to put these books together, and it did take a lot of trouble to put these books together, is now under fire, suspended from the Navy, folks. Suspended from the Navy. So check it out. You can call Republic Broadcasting Network's order line at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. I can't endorse these books more heartily, and they are going to be valuable reference books for your library, particularly in the future when the tragedy of Iraq becomes ever more evident than it already is. And you can say, hey, look, here are all these people who said it was wrong, a war that shouldn't have been fought, and a war that once it was fought turned into an absolute disaster for America. And remember, it was a good U.S. Navy man who put these books together. So by buying these books, obviously, you're ultimately going to help John Sharp, and you'll certainly help the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, of course, if you want to call in here, folks, please do. The number here is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And we do have a caller up already, and I'm going to bring him up in a second. But I want to tell you about another very interesting article about an interesting book called My Holocaust. Nice Jewish lady named Tova Reich has been taken aback by all the people who are trying to make a buck on the Holocaust. And she has written a satirical novel entitled My Holocaust. And she has written a story about a wheeler dealer, a schnorrer, a glutton and lech, and yes, a Holocaust survivor, Mr. Messer, who got his start in ladies' undergarments. But then all of a sudden he figured out that a bigger, better, fancier way to make money and also make himself look good was to get in the Holocaust racket, ladies and gentlemen, or as Professor Norman Finkelstein calls it, the Holocaust industry. And it's interesting because Mrs. Reich is the wife of Walter Reich, who was director of the D.C. Holocaust Museum. So, in any case, it's very, very interesting because here is a Jewish lady whose husband has been involved in the Holocaust industry writing a satirical novel that just goes to show how the Holocaust has become the in thing and how even many, many other groups and people are trying to get in on the action and be Holocaust victims and make money off the Holocaust. So that the book is entitled My Holocaust by Tova Reich, R-E-I-C-H. It's published by a big establishment publisher, HarperCollins. I'm sure you'll be able to find this one in the bookstores. My Holocaust by Tova Reich. You know, isn't it interesting? I always said that someday some smart Israeli promoter, maybe even some Jewish publishing house in America, might figure out that they could really make some money by promoting my book on the Kennedy assassination. Well, that hasn't happened and probably never will, but, you know, the things are breaking here, folks. There's a lot of people who are finally saying that enough is enough, and people like George Soros recognize that the overwhelming pushing and shoving and running to the trough by the politicians eager to lop at the swill given them by the Israeli lobby is not only hurting America, but ultimately is going to backfire on the Jews. And you know, my old friend DeWest Hooker, he was a good friend of mine for many years, and for many years prior to that of Eustace Mullins. West Hooker always said that in the end, in the end, when it was necessary, the big, powerful Zionist forces would back off. And, you know, maybe that's exactly what we're seeing here, folks. I don't know. I don't pretend to know, but I'm just telling you what's going on. You can judge for yourself. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing about this country. We still do have a modicum of freedom of speech. We certainly have freedom of thought. We can think, although they try to muzzle us when we speak out. But speak out we do. And speaking of speaking out, one of our regular speakers out, I'm assuming it's Jim from Texas that I know. Jim from Texas is here. Jim, is it the real Jim from Texas?
Yeah, this is the real Jim.
How you doing, Jim?
I had a nice conversation with your buddy Mark Glenn today.
Okay.
I got a hold of him finally by email, and he called me. We had a heck of a conversation.
Great.
And by the way, he considers you his hero. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Good Lord. I'm glad somebody does.
I know. He could be desperate, but that isn't the point. He does consider you one of his heroes, so I just thought I'd pass that along.
Well, Mark's a good man.
He's one of the best, as I've told you probably 10 or 15 times now over the past. But anyhow, you're talking about this, I think he's a lieutenant commander or commander, Sharp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I read about him, and the reason they're charging him is because anybody that says anything critical of the Israeli group or the Jews or Israeli government is considered a supremacist. That's the grounds they're charging him on. In other words, if you say, I don't believe the Jews ought to shoot the eyeballs out of Palestinian toddlers as they're cleansing the West Bank, that's anti-Semitic, and therefore you're a supremacist, and you do not belong in the Navy. That's what I gathered from the article.
Well, you know, what's interesting, though, about this is that even George Soros, who is Jewish and who is considered a quote-unquote Holocaust survivor, they're even attacking George Soros, and Martin Peretz of the New Republic is saying that George Soros was a Nazi collaborator. And apparently the reason why they're saying he was a Nazi collaborator was because as a young kid who was in he was being detained by the Germans and I guess presumably was in a concentration camp, one of the work camps that they falsely called death camps. Soros, as a young man, as a relative child, accompanied a Nazi officer who was taking inventory of possessions taken from the Jews who had been interned in the camps. So that makes a little kid, a little Jewish kid, in the parlance of the modern-day Jewish lobby, they're calling him a Nazi collaborator.
And a capo and a Sonderkommando.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's come down to, you know, and I think that's what's interesting about it, because when they go, and George Soros himself, you know, he's been an international speculator who's been attacked repeatedly. He's never been deeply involved in Jewish affairs per se. And now that he's dared to come out and say that the Israeli lobby is causing problems, not only for Israel, but for the United States, now they're going after, of all people, George Soros. So this does indicate a certain desperation.
Well, I believe that the Internet is finally getting to these people because I don't know if you're aware of the fellow, Swiss fellow named Benjamin Wilminski or something like that, that wrote a book about his childhood in the death camps, and he was touted and he was guest speaker and getting thousands of dollars for discussing his childhood in the death camps, and the sucker never left Switzerland. He wasn't born until 1946.
Yeah, you know, I'm familiar with that. Benjamin Wilko Mirsky, his name was.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when Frederick Tobin, the Holocaust critic.
Adelaide Institute. No, all
yeah, Adelaide Institute. When Frederick was visiting here in Washington some years ago, he and I were walked into a bookstore here on Capitol Hill, and I saw a copy of that book on a remainder shelf, and I bought a copy of it as a gift for Frederick and wrote kind of a little humorous inscription in it. And Frederick was quite amused by that, but we were both amused by the fact that the book had ended up on the remainder shelf.
Hey, these people will tout anything and anybody elected. There was one woman, a Jewish woman, that wrote a book how she was 8 years old and escaped Roundup in France. okay? And she lived with wolves, and she made her way to Germany, killing a couple of German Gestapo people on the way, and made her way to Germany and managed to survive at 8 years old. These are the kind of stories these people will tout, and they'll say, this is great, this is wonderful. Completely implausible stories that these people make up.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, oddly enough, you know, I was talking to Mark Glenn earlier today on the phone about another matter, and I mentioned to Mark, and I had intended to mention it on the program tonight, that over the weekend I had watched that old television extravaganza on tape, The Winds of War, and its follow-up, War and Remembrance.
Robert Mitchum, Herman Wouk.
Herman Wouk's books that were made into those movies,
yeah.
And you know, technically, those films are very, very well done, but they're very over the top as far as the Holocaust is concerned. And if you recall, Robert Mitchum himself got in trouble for having commented when he was giving interviews about the movie originally. He said they made reference to the fact that 6 million Jews died, and he said, "So some people say."
Yeah.
And that took his interviewer aback. It was an interviewer for Esquire magazine. He said, "What do you mean, Mr. Mitchum?" And Mitchum said, "Well," he said, "you know, there's a lot of research by people that indicates things didn't exactly happen the way it was told." And, you know, it's interesting because I have the whole complete collection of the old publications of the Journal of Historical Review before it was taken over by a, let's just put it this way, compromised.
Yeah.
In any case, so last night I took about 4 or 5 copies of the journal off the shelf and was flipping through them before I went to bed. And, you know, it reminded me of the fact that there are so many of these stories about the Holocaust that are told over and over and over again that have absolutely no basis in reality.
They defy all laws of physics and reality, as you say. They defy them all, but they are touted as this is a wonderful. Well, Elie Wiesel is the same. He's the same way with his. They march the stuff right to the edge of a burning trench, which is 6 meters wide and 6 meters deep, and for some reason they turned us aside and sent us back into the camp. Now, who'd go back into a camp if you marched up to a gigantic burning pit? But the point is, the water table at Auschwitz was about a meter and a half. So you cannot possibly have a 6 meter deep trench and 6 meters wide, which is multiplied by 3 to translate it into feet. It's multiplied by 3 when you have a water table of a foot and a half, or about 3 feet. You can't have it. The place was built on a bog.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, talking about that movie, War and Remembrance, I'll tell you the one thing that struck me as being the most falsified and also kind of the most funny in a strange sense is the portrayal of Adolf Hitler. In that movie, I don't think Hitler ever said anything in a normal tone. He was always presented as shrieking, and I'm talking about in normal conversations with military officers and with political associates. Every scene, Hitler was presented as shrieking and shouting and waving his arms. And if you read any account of anyone who ever dealt with Adolf Hitler in a business setting, so to speak, or in a personal setting, the fact is that Hitler talked in a very normal tone, in a very restrained tone. And as I recall, there were people who said that sometimes Hitler talked so quietly, it put them in an embarrassing position where they were afraid to say, "Mein Führer, I'm sorry, I don't know what you said."
He was a very mild-mannered man. He did not shriek. He did not yell. In his speeches that the Jews are famous for showing, but he's trying to talk to a crowd.
Exactly.
He did not talk that way when he talked to individuals.
Yeah, and
in no way, shape, or form.
So even in that sense, you know, I mean, whether you like Adolf Hitler or don't like Adolf Hitler, if you're going to deal with a historical event, why can't you present someone as he really was?
Well, why don't we talk about kindly old Uncle Joe Stalin, who's always presented as a kindly old soul who never bothered anybody, despite the fact that he butchered about 40 million of Christian Russians, and or him and his cohorts did, but he's always presented as a kindly, smiling fellow sitting there in his stupid white uniform with the epaulets on there. He's always presented that way. They never show him for what he was.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would take exception to that in one regard. That was the old image of Stalin up through about the mid-1950s, and in a lot of...
when he died, 53.
But some years ago, they did a movie for Home Box Office, I believe, starring Robert Duvall as Joseph Stalin, and Stalin was presented as an evil butcher, but the ringing theme throughout the film was that Stalin didn't like Jews. So the point was to remind people that, well, yes, it turns out Joseph Stalin was a really bad guy, but the worst thing about him was that he persecuted Jews.
Absolutely, and he married three Jewish women.
Well, I tell you what, there's even some question. I was talking about this on Rick Adams' show the other night. There's actually some question in regard to that matter. Anyway, Jim, hang on for the break.
All right.
This is Michael Collins Piper. We're wrapping up the hour here. Get your pen and paper handy. I want to give you those numbers for Neocon and also for Headaches Dagon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Okay, folks, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour. Michael Collins Piper here. Just to remind you, sponsor here, of course, is Headache Stay Gone, and you can drop them a call at 800-327-0727. That's 1-800-327-0727. And if you want to get the book Neocon and its follow-up, Neocon Again, you can call right here to the Republic Broadcasting Network on the special order line. It's an 800 number, 1-800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. Well, we are wrapping it up. We have Jim from Texas here, and he's going to wrap up the hour with us. Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I believe that if you'll research, you'll find that Stalin, who is from the from Georgia, which is either on the Black Sea or Caspian Sea, I'm not sure which, that he was born of a supposedly a shoemaker whose name was Dzigisvili, which I have trouble pronouncing as anybody does with the Eastern European languages because they've got 26 consonants and only one vowel, so it's hard to pronounce those and be anywhere near accurate. But I've read that his name translates into son of the Jew or Jewison, as in Norman Jewison, the famous producer here in the United States.
But you know, Norman Jewison is not Jewish. A lot of people think that he is, but he is not because of his name. You see, so sometimes names can, you know, sometimes names can be a little bit surprising. I had heard, though, and again, it's never been confirmed because so much of the details of that part of the world and that part of history are really hard to find. But it is possible that Joseph Stalin was, in fact, descended in part from a group known as the Karaites, who were Jews who rejected the Talmud. Now, that's
his father was a Jewish cobbler, and he started off his career as an anarchist bank robber. That's how he started his career off.
But you know what also people are not aware of is that he was also, at one point apparently, an informant for the Tsarist secret police. So even Joseph Stalin, he may well have been what I've called, at least in the American context, a Judas goat. I think the bottom line on Stalin, though, is that he was a pretty power-hungry guy, and he was ready to kill anybody who stood in his way. And but your point at the very beginning is absolutely correct, that when it was convenient for the powers that be here in the United States and in Britain and in the Jewish community to promote Joseph Stalin as a tool in the war against Hitler, they were ready, willing, and able to do it, and they didn't give a damn if Joseph Stalin was killing or starving or otherwise causing the deaths of 25, 50, maybe when you look at the whole figure for the whole communist world, 100 million people.
Yeah.
And 6 million, which I believe is a false figure for Adolf Hitler, pales very much in comparison to those we know who died at the hands of Joseph Stalin.
As FDR said, some of my best friends are communists. He actually came out and stated it, but it wasn't widely circulated, but he actually made that statement. Some of my best friends are communists.
You know, my father was once within spitting distance of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Too bad he didn't have a weapon at the time.
Yes, he did, and I wish he would have done more than spit. But then again, I wouldn't be here today.
Well, yeah, that is one drawback, as far as you're concerned, anyway. For the rest of humanity, it might have been better.
It might have been better off, you know.
And I don't mean any disrespect to you, Mike, but as far as humanity as in totality is concerned, it might have been better had your father decided to make that decision.
You know, I wish I didn't agree with you, Jim, but I do.
And you're the last person in the world should agree to that.
What can I say? I have humanity at heart.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd let you know that you're a hero to Mark Glenn, and he's a swell fellow as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's a good man. He's a hero to me, too.
I understand he has 8 children.
Yeah, it's like somewhere between 8 and 100. I'm not sure the exact number.
Well, more power to him is all I got to say.
That's right.
Like
all right, Jim, thanks for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Rick Adams and more good programming.